We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're talking Dynasty Startup ADP on RotoViz Radio.
What's up, RotoViz?
Welcome into the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at RotoViz. We're back talking dynasty startups because Curtis and I, as you all know out there, are currently in one and I cannot get startups off of my mind. Before we get into the football talk, though, I have to ask Curtis a question here. What is this madness about you competing in a bodybuilding competition? And what are these videos I'm seeing of you, you know, in the tight-fitting, almost spandex-like clothing, you know, curling some massive weight? What's going on here?
Well, let's clarify a few things. First off, not a bodybuilding competition, powerlifting competition, rather. I'm a pretty vain person, but I'm not that vain to be a bodybuilder. But I admire the discipline. So if you are a bodybuilding type and you're listening to the show, please do not be off put by that comment. But you also know you got to love you a little you if you're going to do that sport. This was powerlifting, Dave. And, You know, I grew up in a house where, I mean, my dad literally had me in the gym, probably when I was 6 years old. There are pictures of me holding myself, from a chin-up bar at 11 months old. So, I mean, my dad, you know, he put this in my head, from the time I was born, and he was a competitive power lifter. You know, I'm in my mid to late thirties now, and he was still competing, in those events when I was growing up. And so I remember those things, and he's been out of the game now for 25 to 30 years. Well, now at age 64, he's getting close to being in the senior division, has his sights set on some world records for the drug-free powerlifting competitions. So this year is a year where he's kind of getting his feet wet, getting back into it. I agreed to train with him and do a father-son thing. So we go to the Tri-State, not Tri-Flex. We're talking about that in the episode, but the Tri-State Raw Federation is just drug-free powerlifting.
Yep.
So Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania last weekend and compete. And what's pretty cool is, Papa Patrick, and I each, took home the title. So I competed in the submasters division, 35 to 39 age, and weighed in at 198. Then I won the strict curl. I'm now the reigning Tri-State strict curl champion, which is pretty cool. And, my dad at age 64 actually set two new Ohio State powerlifting records, in the bench press and in the strict curl. So, We're starting a powerlifting dynasty here in the Patrick household, I think, Dave, and we'll see, man. I think now I've got a goal of achieving a world ranking in this event by the end of the year. So yeah, maybe we'll check in once in a while. See, you got to hold me accountable to staying in the gym.
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations. I mean, that's really cool that you and your dad are doing this together and finding success. I also like, it shows the dedication to something, which is also what you bring. Oh, wow. That's a pretty sick trophy, dude. He's holding a, I wish people could see this. That's a really sick trophy. I love it. Nice.
Definitely the coolest trophy I've ever won.
That's pretty sweet. So that dedication is what you take to your dynasty teams. Pretty soon, maybe we'll get, you know, one of your, you have two sons, right?
Yeah, I got two sons. Yeah, obviously, Dave, I came home. My oldest, Kellen, is 9.
Yep.
And I'm like, Kellen, man, you know, you could compete at 9 and 10. Like, there are world records for 9 and 10 year olds. Like, we need to get you on the deadlift. I think that's the one that he has a shot at. So we'll see. I don't want to push my kids that direction. You have to like it. Yeah. I mean, you know how it is. I mean, anyone listening, we've all been in phases of life where you want to stay in shape, and then other times where you're feeling more lazy or not motivated. There's nothing worse than trying to make somebody exercise who doesn't want to exercise. And that's certainly the case, like to train repetitively or with any amount of passion. But if you show some interest, yeah, man, maybe we'll get three generations of Patricks out there competing in the same tournament. That would be pretty cool.
So you guys would literally be tri-flexing if that happens.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love it, man. Yeah. We'll have to, that's great. That's a perfect segue too, man. Let's talk about these tri-flex dynasty leagues. I'm getting uncomfortable talking about my biceps as much.
All right. So while Curtis is building his body, listeners will be building dynasty rosters. We're going to play a game here. I'm going to say the name of a player, and his ADP. And now, unfortunately, you know, we don't have enough Triflex startup ADP to use. So we're going to go with just your standard Superflex startup league ADP. What you're going to do, Curtis, is you're going to tell us if that player's ADP is too high or too low. You cannot say that you think it's just right. So even if you don't have a strong feeling, you're making a case. I will give you two passes for which I will have to answer for that player. Let's try to keep these answers to 2 minutes or less. The first player is Aaron Jones, who currently has an ADP of running back 16.
Okay, I think Aaron Jones is too low, especially in comparison to other backs who are in front of him. But he's also probably too high for our Triflex format. So this one's really interesting. You can take it either way. I do not want Aaron Jones. His ADP is 40.3. Is that what we said? So yeah, he's going in the early fourth, and in a format where I can start two quarterbacks and three wide receivers, and tight ends also get a premium. I don't want to be taking, you know, a soon to be age 26 running back on a second contract this early as part of the foundation of my team. However, he is going behind Derrick Henry, who's like a year and a half older and playing for a new OC and coming off of two straight 400 plus touch seasons. So I think Aaron Jones is a value relative to other running backs, but I'd much rather have wide receivers, quarterbacks, or even, you know, if Darren Waller is still available in this range, I'd prefer him.
Yeah, you're not going to get any pushback from me there. Also, J.K. Dobbins is ahead of him, which I am not buying at this point in time. So I just felt compelled to push that in there. I also actually think that Ezekiel Elliott, who's in front of Aaron Jones, and this might be a conversation for another time, really shouldn't be in front of Jones, because I feel that good about Jones's outlook in the next two seasons. Got to keep this moving, though, man. Zach Moss at RB 39. Is that too high or too low?
That's too high. I don't want either of the current Bills running backs, Singletary and Moss, both going to be vultured by Josh Allen often, especially from the touchdown perspective. I don't think the team's very happy with what they got from Moss. Singletary hasn't really developed, though. You know, he looks like, you know, he could be a nice, you know, complimentary receiving type back, for the duration of his rookie contract anyway. Buffalo, there's a lot of rumors about them being a big player in the NFL draft for running back. So I really think that, you know, for a team that's built to win now, a lot of times those are those teams that are willing now to invest early in a running back. We saw it with Kansas City last year and Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
those luxury picks don't seem like luxuries, I guess, when you've got Super Bowl in your sights. So Zach Moss at RB39, you know, going ahead of pretty much any rookie, going ahead of a player like Gus Edwards, who is a guarantee to be more involved, Nyheim Hines, who can be involved multiple ways, and especially as a receiver, even Kenyon Drake. I think Kenyon Drake getting new life with this new contract and being a versatile weapon, even though he's an older player, I think is sure to have more, you know, value in any format really than Zach Moss. So I think probably any number that you said after RB for Moss would be too high for me. He's going inside the top 12 rounds of startups as well. Just would rather have many other players. He's far too high. He should probably be outside the top 50 running backs, and you shouldn't consider him like in the top 16 rounds of a draft.
Yep. I don't think I need to say very much else there. And like you, I'm not going to be shocked at all if we see the Bills try to draft a running back that could surely come in and replace both of Moss and Singletary. What about Stephon Diggs at wide receiver 7? Pretty high ADP for a wide receiver, but Stephon Diggs is really, really good. What do you think?
Okay, so Stephon Diggs, wide receiver 1 in expected fantasy points last season, and the big worry with him going into last year is, you know, the whole narrative around wide receiver free agents changing teams, and I think between him and DeAndre Hopkins now, I think that seems like more of a coin flip scenario. Like, you know, if you're good enough and you go to a place that also has a good quarterback, maybe we shouldn't fade those receivers trading teams. Maybe it would be the guys like Corey Davis who go to a new team that have no quarterback and the team also sucks. So that's another one for another episode. But Diggs, a wide receiver 7, I think, is too low. You know, he's just entering his prime. He stays with the elite Josh Allen. Brian Daboll stays in Buffalo. That is really, really, really big. Brian Daboll, the architect of the Buffalo offense, staying there with that chemistry. I would rather have Stephon Diggs than Davante Adams. I understand that Davante Adams lit the world on fire last year, but Diggs is several years younger. And, you know, Green Bay can do a lot to upgrade its wide receiver core and potentially eat into that, you know, league leading or at least near league leading target market share that Adams had. Diggs was already competing with the likes of Cole Beasley and John Brown last year, and Emmanuel Sanders kind of just feels like a direct swap, you know, with John Brown for me. So I think his situation really does not change. I'm also more comfortable with Stephon Diggs than DK Metcalf. I don't think that DK is going to get the type of volume in Seattle that Stephon Diggs has seen. So much safer play. And then just from an overall ADP perspective, Dave, 35.1. Overall, I mean, Diggs is a borderline first rounder in Dynasty for me, even in a super flex startup. So he's one of the biggest bargains on any board right now.
Well, it's almost like we work for the same site, seeing as Diggs was my second round pick and I was super pumped about it in the Triflex League that we are both in. I think that there's a super compelling case for Diggs as a wide receiver 2 right now in Dynasty. And if somebody even wanted to push him up over Justin Jefferson, I am not going to give you a huge argument about that. So I like your thoughts there. This one's an interesting one. Allen Robinson at wide receiver 17. Like Diggs, Robinson is 27 years of age. Of course, he's in that situation in Chicago, not nearly as good as other players might have, but we've talked about it that he seems to be one of these players that transcends it. So 17, an overall ADP of 65. How does that feel?
Oh man, this is the toughest one you've given me so far because, he's simultaneously likely to outperform wide receiver 17 while also probably not being able to do anything to improve his dynasty value, which is something we look for when we're investing in players. The Bears bringing in Andy Dalton to captain that ship is not going to excite anybody. And the Bears should also, you know, look to continue to add other offensive firepower, which could eat into Robinson's lock on being the alpha there over the last couple seasons. So let's see who else is around him. I mean, Amari Cooper at wide receiver 18, I would rather have Cooper in that Dallas Cowboys offense, even if
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
He's the wide receiver two there to CeeDee Lamb, and over the long haul would prefer Cooper to Robinson. We also see Keenan Allen, who's of a similar age, maybe a little older than Allen Robinson, but he's paired with Justin Herbert in that exciting ascending Los Angeles attack. Mike Evans, I think, is a very similar dynasty asset to Allen Robinson, but he has Tom Brady. So when you start looking at who's just behind Robinson, he's got the worst situation from a head coach standpoint and also from a quarterback standpoint. So I'm going to say he's too high.
All right. That is fair enough. Let's take a look now at Odell Beckham Jr. at wide receiver 37. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Okay, you told me I get two passes, and I'm not going to pass this one because I'm scared of it, because I actually have strong Odell Beckham takes, but I know that you do too, and I'm also a Cleveland Browns fan, so I actually want to sit back and listen to your take and make sure that I'm being unbiased about this. So let me flip it around on you. I'll give you the stats. Odell Beckham Jr., 108.5 overall. So we're talking first player off the board in round 10, that would be, and he's wide receiver 38. What do you think, Dave?
It feels weird to say it, Curtis, but I got to tell you something. I think that's too high. If forced to choose, I think that's too high. Last season, the year 2020, in terms of expected points per game, OBJ came in at 40. Did not do a whole lot with these targets. I think he's in a situation that just doesn't seem to be working out for him. This was a guy who started off his career as an absolute dynamo. Last 2 years, he's been in that wide receiver three range. I can't take away the fact that from 2014 to 2018, the highest rank he had in PPR per game was wide receiver seven. I understand that, but this just feels to me like a player that's not trending in the right direction. I understand that Cleveland could get better, but I'm looking at this list. Now, keep in mind, OBJ is already 28. This career is not on the right trajectory. There's guys behind him like Adam Thielen, who I might rather have Adam Thielen in the next 2 years. I also see guys like Deebo Samuel, who I think is in a situation that could work for him. Heck, Will Fuller could be this huge player in Miami. You still have Marquise Brown. You know, quarterback situation isn't great there. Curtis Samuel, there's a lot of guys I'm seeing behind him that I can make a much compelling case for their value moving up. I think people are soured on OBJ at this point, and it's going to take a lot for that value to readjust. Not saying that it can't, but I'm not going to be betting for it. Sometimes there's players you have to say the sun is setting on them, and I think the sun is setting on OBJ.
Obligatory Tyler Lockett plug here, Dave. We talked about him the other day. Tyler Lockett he's a wide receiver 40. Tyler Lockett. Okay. Seattle just signed him to a mega extension and all he does is perform. Tyler Lockett is wide receiver 42 in dynasty startups in round 10. It is the freest money ever. It's egregious that I know Odell Beckham is a great brand name and, you know, he's a much more intriguing personality than Tyler Lockett, who's basically like just the most quiet, humble, vanilla personality in the NFL. But this is ridiculous. And I agree that, you know, I think every name that you specifically pulled out, they're all players I would rather have than OBJ. Definitely overvalued here when you look at who's going behind him.
Yes, completely glad that we are in agreement there. And I do think it's something that some people might think is kind of like an odd, just it's an odd thought to see him at 37 in Dynasty right now and saying that he's going too high, but it just really comes down to who's behind him. All right, we're going to do a lightning round here. Basically, I am going to toss something out. I want your very quick reaction to it. Christian McCaffrey at fourth overall in a super flex league. On a scale from delicious to repulsively gross, where does this land?
I think it's... Oh, man. That scale is so loose. Okay, so this would be like... Okay, making out and ending up with the other person's gum. Okay, so you at least were making out, but ideally you don't want to be chewing their gum. McCaffrey is what happens after all the top quarterbacks are off the board, and it's like he's the ultimate consolation prize, but, you know, please don't take him at four, I guess it's like modestly gross, but he still could win you your league for the first year or two. So it's one of those things where it's like, it's good and it's not. I mean, I don't know. Does that, you know, analogy or, picture paint what I think it did in your head, or did that not land?
All right. Well, I think it depends on a couple of factors here. I mean, it probably depends on who's on the other end of your making out. And then I also need to know if the gum still has flavor. Like, is the gum stale at that point, or does it still have flavor?
Okay, so it's somebody presumably that you're attracted to, and the gum is like reasonably fresh. Like, this is not like, you know, making out with Blair or something. Okay. It's like, all right. So Blair, I love you, but, I would answer differently if I'm swapping gum with you versus, you know, my beautiful wife. So there you go, Dave. Do you have the info you need now?
I think we can move on. We actually called an episode last week Uncharted Territory. This was really Uncharted Territory. Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara are going in the 12 to 14 range. Overall, Calvin Ridley is going at 43. How silly is this? Is this silly? I think it's silly.
Hold on. The title of the episode could be Swapping Spit and More, Dynasty Takes with Dave and Curtis. Workshop with that. Okay, so Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara in the 12 and 14 range, Calvin Ridley 43. Yes, it's absolutely silly. I mean, you think about remaining lifetime value from a dynasty perspective. However, to be fair, you know, we're pulling ADP from traditional FFPC dynasty startups, and, you know, I think that's really what's driving this, is the requirement only to start two wide receivers. When we see this TriFlex Dynasty ADP come out, it's going to be very different. I've actually been very impressed, Dave, in the startup that you and I are in right now, competing against one another. There's been a massive shift. There's been a big adjustment in how many early wide receivers we're seeing. And I think that this is going to be great for the Dynasty landscape. It's going to be great for our tools. It's going to be great for FFPC players to have this balance between players. So I think when that data comes out, you know, Ridley's going to be going in that range where he's, you know, kind of knocking on the door, you know, with these backs that are on the backside of their career.
Yeah, because for me, I view Calvin Ridley as in a range that's pretty close to a lot of the receivers that we talked about when we were talking about Diggs. So to me, it's just nuts that he's going so far back, and especially when you're looking at the rest of the value he could have over the course of his career. All right, TJ Hawkinson in FFPC Superflex startups, keeping in mind it's tight end premium, is going at 60 overall. Is this too hot, too cold, or just right on a Goldilocks scale there, if you will?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like the reference there. I think it's what you have to do in a tight end premium format. I think it's just right. He does have some upside, you know, new quarterback coming in, opportunity to establish himself as the number one target getter in Detroit, with also Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones moving on. A lot of moving parts in Detroit to kind of wrap our heads around. So it's just right. You look at the players around him. He's actually going a couple spots above Mark Andrews. I actually don't really mind that. I think Mark Andrews has shown us what he is at this point over the last two seasons with Lamar Jackson. You also see Chris Godwin, who is, you know, just one other hungry mouth to feed in Tampa while still obviously being, you know, a valuable player. It feels right for TJ Hockenson. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I'd say it's just right. I mean, I wouldn't put him ahead. Kyle Pitts, I have to put ahead of him. I know it sounds nuts, but I mean, he's not going to get past Kelce, Kittle, and Waller at this point. I think it's perfectly fair. He's above Mark Andrews. I like Fant, but I think that they're both in a situation where you'd have questions about the quarterback. Don't know exactly how those are going to be addressed. And Hockenson at this point has less competition than Fant. So that feels like the perfect spot for me. Hey, Curtis, I am putting in my pick right now in the DCC guide. One quarterback mock draft. I'm taking Najee Harris. You are going to be on the board. Want to just give a quick preview for listeners of what's going to be in store in Volume 2?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. I'm glad that you're mentioning this here. So, okay. So for those of you who haven't bought this yet, what we're really trying to do is have a rookie draft guide. This is not a prospect. This is not 300 pages on, you know, who the prospect was, you know, friends with in high school, who recruited him, you know, film angles and things like that. There are some great resources out there for that type of analysis and breakdowns on players. If that's what your passion is, we're really just trying to identify which player is going to be successful for fantasy purposes, at the next level and, you know, using, analytics as a basis for that. But then also, you know, reading the tea leaves on things like draft position and how can we predict that based off of athletic measurables, et cetera. It's the whole RotoViz method just applied, you know, to rookie scouting. And so, back in early January, we released Volume 1. That was based basically on player production profiles, 35 to 38 pages, if memory serves correctly on that. Some great articles from Dave, myself, Sean, Blair, Travis May, our lead Devy coordinator, who really we trust, to gather all that information while players are in college. And Volume 2 is going to add in all that pro day, performance analysis. And, you know, now we can really start building some of these regression, tree models that everyone loves so much from our site and start to compare some of these players and things like our workout explorer tools, which I know, Dave, that's going to be one of your pet projects for this volume of the guide. And, you know, I just really want to give a shout out to all the great work being done by all of our writers and analysts. Without the NFL Combine, this was a huge undertaking to keep track of all this stuff. Travis May, I don't know how many hours he spent, you know, putting together this massive pro day article that he stayed on top of for weeks. I mean, actually months on end. And so, you know, you'll see.
It's 17,000 words. 17,000 words.
17,000 words. I mean, really just have to tip my hat to him for staying on top of all of that. You'll see a kind of a, for subscribers of the site who also buy the guide, you'll see a little bit of a revitalized version, of what you've already seen on the site there from Travis, but you'll see other content that is not found on the site from me, Dave, Blair, and Sean. And this is really going to focus on what that athletic measurable piece of the prospect profile puzzle adds to the situation. And then in just a couple weeks, we're going to have NFL draft capital. You're going to get that Volume 3. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to be ready for those FFPC and other format dynasty drafts right on schedule. We'll have that third volume out before those drafts the week after the NFL draft. It's going to be a very tight weekend for Team RotoViz, but we're here to deliver for you. So if you haven't bought the guide yet, you can actually go to rotoviz.com. Just click on rookie guide, I believe at the top of the page there, and you can still buy it. Yeah, it just says rookie guide. You can still buy it. If you purchase now, Dave, do you still get Volume 1? Does that happen automatically? I'm not sure if we've actually,
talked
about those mechanics from Volume 2.
Yeah, no, you will still get it. It's in there.
Well, there you go. So there you go. It's you're not going to have to email customer service and ask for it. It's just going to automatically happen. So that's great. Appreciate Dave putting together all technical aspects of things on the site for us. So really, you know, hey, it's $20. You're going to get three volumes. You're going to see how we've adjusted players as more and more information comes in, as we've had more time to study these prospects. It's like the easiest no-brainer. You're going to have a good leg up on anybody you're competing against in your dynasty league. And it's also just fun if you like prospect analysis and, you know, maybe you do your own rankings, it's just another way to add additional information, some pretty cool graphics in there as well. So, you know, it's an easy $20. Head over to rotoviz.com and click on the rookie guide link at the top of the page and add it to your cart now.
And that takes us to the end of this episode. No better way to close. Again, want to win a t-shirt? Send in a question or comment to 978-615-9214. We will see you on Friday. Thanks for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Email us at RotoVizFFShow@gmail.com. Visit RotoViz.com/podcast for more information on listener-only discounts. And until next time, thanks for stopping by.